You are about to hear The Adventures of Bigfoot Wallace, the Texas Ranger and Hunter by John C. Duvall, narrated by Derek Robinson. Disclaimer: this is a historical work, and the ideas expressed in this book do not reflect the ideas of myself or others producing this narration. Some passages contain sensitive racial content that prevailed during that era. These passages are included for historical accuracy only. The writer of this little book is well aware that it will not stand the test of criticism as a literary production. A frontiersman himself, his opportunities for acquiring information and for supplying the deficiencies of a rather limited education have of course been few and far between, and therefore it cannot be reasonably expected that he could make a book under such circumstances, which would not be sadly defective as to style and composition. However, it can justly lay claim to at least one merit, not often found in similar publications. It is not a compilation of imaginary scenes and incidents concocted in the brain of one who was never beyond the sound of a dinner bell in his life, but a plain, unvarnished story of the scapes and scrapes of Bigfoot Wallace, the Texas Ranger and Hunter, written out from notes furnished by himself and told, as well as my memory serves me, in his own language. Bigfoot Wallace is better known throughout Texas as an Indian fighter, hunter, and ranger than anyone, perhaps, now living in the state. Which is saying a good deal when the great number who have acquired more or less notoriety in that way is taken into consideration. Few men now living, I am confident, have witnessed as many stirring incidents, had more hairbreadth escapes, or gone through more of the hardships and perils of a border life. He has been a participant in almost every fight, foray, and scrimmage with the Mexicans and Indians that has taken place in Texas since he first landed on her shores in 1836. Pioneers, or frontiersmen, are a class of men peculiar to our country, and seem to have been designed especially to meet the exigencies of the occasion. With their iron nerves, great powers of endurance, and indomitable go-aheadedness, they have been essentially useful in clearing the way through the wilderness from such obstacles as would have been perhaps insurmountable to those coming after them. Their mission has been very nearly accomplished. Like the flatboat men of the Mississippi, who have entirely disappeared as a class since the introduction of steamboats on that river and its tributaries, their numbers are steadily decreasing before the extension of railroads and the area of civilization. Only here and there one is still found in our midst, whom disease, wounds, or old age have rendered incapable of further contest with the Indians and other denizens of the forests and plains, and of enduring hardships and exposure of a life in the wilderness. As a class, frontiersmen are observant and knowing in all that pertains to their peculiar mode of life, and as deeply versed in all the mysteries of woodcraft as the wily savage himself. But they are guileless and unsuspicious as a child, and whenever they come in conflict with the shrewd, calculating man of business, they are as helpless as a standard whale. For this reason, they seldom accumulate property, and those who follow them generally reap the reward of all their perils, toils, and hardships. Wallace is no exception to this rule. The best days of his life have been freely given to the service of his country. And now that years have dimmed the fire of his eye and lessened the vigor of his limbs, now that he is no longer able to follow the buffalo to their distant grazing grounds, he calls upon a generous public to aid him by patronizing his little book. William A. Wallace was born in Lexington, Rockbridge County, Virginia, in the year 1816. He went to Texas in 1836, a few months after the Battle of San Jacinto, for the purpose, he says, of taking pay out of the Mexicans for the murder of his brother and his cousin, Major Wallace, who both fell at Fannin's Massacre. He says he believes accounts with them are now about square. He landed first at Galveston, which consisted then of 6 groceries and an old stranded hulk of a steamboat, used as a hotel, and for a berth in which he paid at the rate of $3 per day. From Galveston, Wallace went on to LaGrange, then a frontier village, where he resided until the spring of 1839, when he moved up to Austin, just before the seat of government was established at that place. He remained at Austin until the spring of 1840, when finding that the country was settling up around him too fast to suit his notions, where he resided until he entered the service. He was at the Battle of Salado in the fall of 1842, when General Wall came in and captured San Antonio. The fight began about 11 o'clock in the day and lasted until night. General Wall had 1,400 men and the Texans 197 under Caldwell, commonly known as Old Paint. Between 80 and 100 Mexicans were killed, while the Texans lost only one man, Jet. 40 men, however, from LaGrange, under Captain Dawson, who were endeavoring to form a junction with them, were surrounded and captured by the Mexicans, who massacred them all as soon as they had surrendered their arms. In the fall of 1842, he volunteered in the Meyer expedition, an account of which appears in his volume. After his return from Mexico, he joined Colonel Jack Hayes's ranging company, the first ever regularly enlisted in the service.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?